It's a challenge when you're given a topic like this one, Christ-like patience. And I was just coming down on the bus. I used the National Express bus coming down. It was due to get in at 8:45. I thought, well, I can just about get in and get along and catch at least part of the communion service earlier on, and it was good to be. I did actually make it, and I was looking at the clock, and it was about 10:25, and we were just north of Gretna, and I thought, yeah, that's at least we're going to get in on time, 8:45. When the driver decided that he didn't want to arrive early, so he decided to take a 10-minute break at Gretna services. He informed me that he could make it in 10 minutes. I knew he couldn't make it in 10 minutes. So we got here about 10:05. And it's just one of those silly little situations. And I was mulling over the 15, 20 minutes as to whether or not I should raise with him the fact that on the ticket it says 9:45. And he obviously has a different schedule. And I won't argue with him. And I didn't. But it's just one of those small situations where a little bit of, do you exercise patience and just wait? Okay, things haven't quite worked to the time that I had. Or do you go with it? And how do you develop that kind of characteristic? And we're going to look briefly this morning, both a practical aspect of how do we develop this fruit of the Spirit. And I believe you're going through a series on the fruit of the Spirit. Now this is one of these characteristics that I won't go through all of the list. You perhaps followed through love, joy, peace, and here we are on patience, and the rest of them you'll have the opportunity to go through. So on one hand, looking at these amazing aspects of God's character that he wants to share with us and shares with us by becoming present in us through the Holy Spirit. This is precisely what Jesus Christ achieved through his death on the cross and through his resurrection, giving us new life. And the new life is in essence the life of the Spirit, the life of Christ. It sounds a little bit confusing, but it is the one and same God himself coming to live inside us and bringing these qualities, qualities that are so true of God himself, bringing them into our lives. And we'll look a little bit this morning on as to how this can actually happen. But also I thought to look a little bit about patience and time, because those two concepts go together profoundly. In fact, without time you don't need patience. If you want to follow, we'll have a little bit of a philosophical bit in the middle, okay? If you don't live in time, God doesn't live in time, he's eternal, then do you need patience? Because without time, you don't need to wait, because there's no waiting. There is no time. We'll have a think about this, because this is an interesting character of God who is eternal, who lives outside of time, and yet he's a patient God, which we only discover when he created time. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Patience is an amazing core character. And when you think about patience as a core character, you begin to think about a series of other things that are so vital to daily life, such as peacemaking and persevering and loyalty and faithfulness and to be a finisher, or to be tolerant, which is a highly prized value in our society today. To be tolerant requires patience. It's just amazing how important patience is as a root characteristic from which we can actually be the kind of people that we may like to want to be. Or maybe a dog. I don't know. Hogmanay, we were over in Edinburgh and we just were walking around and past Greyfriars Bobby. Anyone here know Greyfriars Bobby? The story of the Skye Terrier who died in 1872, 14 years after his master had died, and basically spent 14 years apparently in Greyfriars Cemetery at the grave of his master. That kind of loyalty that comes from patience. I don't know if you thought of a dog and patience or tolerance. I mean, tolerance, it's that kind of situation where you exercise patience with someone who is annoying you, or someone, frankly, who is doing wrong to you, and you know they're doing wrong to you, and you know they're doing wrong to you deliberately, which is how God feels probably most of the time about most of us. And if you want a lesson in tolerance, then God encapsulates tolerance on a daily basis with us. Or maybe, as this week, Davina McCall who finished the 500 mile charity fundraiser. I think, I can't quite remember if it was 600,000. It was certainly 600,000 on Friday. It may have gone up. Somebody can give me an updated figure, maybe. 500 miles of running and cycling down through this way, swimming, I think, Windermere, and cycling and running all the way to London. That kind of determination to keep on going, at root, it needs patience, perseverance, in order to finish what you're actually trying to do. Or again this week, the sad situation in Syria, where the second round of peace talks failed. Do you give up? Or do you wait patiently? Do the people of Syria continue to wait patiently, hoping and praying that leaders will have the common sense and grace and willingness to listen to each other and to talk and to find some solution? Peacemaking requires enormous amounts of patience. So when we think about these valuable dimensions of life, people that we respect, and a characteristic that we realize is so crucial, it's great to know that this character is at the very heart of who God is. We'll read a number of passages, and if you want to follow them, one of them I'll just refer briefly to is in the book of Exodus, way back in Exodus chapter 34, when God explains his name, which is one and the same as saying God explaining who he is. He uses a series of terms, and I've just flicked up some of them here on the screen. In Exodus chapter 34 verse 6, God is merciful. Exodus 34 verse 6, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands of generations, forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin, tolerance of an unbelievable scale. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished, the consequences of which go to the third and the fourth generation only, which is a mercy, because his love goes to thousands of generations. And when you consider the occasion when God actually reveals this aspect of his character, of his patience, his tolerance, his slowness to anger, his willingness to wait, it's an incredible point in the history of the life of Israel, because it was a point in the history of Israel when, while God was expressing his unconditional, his eternal love, his undying love to Israel, it was a marriage ceremony. I actually got one coming up on Saturday. This was a marriage ceremony on Mount Sinai, and God was pledging his love to Israel. Israel, as it were, his bride, and God as the bridegroom. At the very moment God was pledging his love to them, what were they doing? I was almost about to use some quite strong language there. Basically, they were committing adultery with another woman while God was pledging his love to them. Moses got very angry. He smashed the tablets of stone. But God is slow to anger, patient, gracious, tolerant. And he didn't wipe them out, but he kept with them the nation of Israel for the following 1,400 years. And of course, that's the problem. And that's why patience is needed. Time just seems to keep passing. I don't know, in your life and experience, time seems to keep passing, and we just don't see things happening the way we want them to happen, or at the speed that we would like them to happen. Patience is all about learning to handle time. That brings us to where I kind of started, a bit of a philosophical thought. So let's go back to it just for a few moments. This is quite an intriguing thing. God, who is timeless, is actually an amazingly patient person. Something of the whole question of time, quite interestingly, is raised in the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you're following through in the Bible, flick forward a few books to another book beginning with E. Ecclesiastes. Small one right in the middle of the Old Testament in chapter 3, where we read that there is a time for everything. And that, of course, is our experience of life. God is where time is not. Now, follow it just a little bit. We'll get off this bit for a moment, in a moment, to the practical stuff. But just think about this for a moment. God is where time is not. God is eternal. God is not stuck inside time and space, and that means God is not limited or controlled by the speed of time. But we were created to live within time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we get those well-known verses 1 to 8. I won't read all of them, but there is a time for everything under the sun, under heaven, within time and space, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and so forth, a time to build, a time to mourn, a time to dance. You know the song very well, a time to search and a time to refrain or to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, interesting one, a time to tear and a time to mend. But we get the point, that is our life, that is our experience. Everything in our existence so far is bound by time. So learning to handle time is really, really important. But if we keep on reading, verse 9, what does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on humanity. And you may be aware that the book of Ecclesiastes is a somewhat depressive book, or a book by a depressed person. And that is, you know, that is a challenging situation in life, isn't it? To suffer from depression. And all of us in one stage or other often have periods where we just can't see a future and we just can't see what it's all about and the point of life. And the writer of this book was kind of in one of those kind of places when he was writing, and he was just reflecting, what's the point of everything? And time just goes on. And he says, God has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of human beings. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning. I know that there is nothing better for humanity than to be happy and to do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken from it. God does it. So people will revere him. And this incredible truth, that while God exists outside of time, when he created our world, which is controlled and dominated by time, patience was placed within our hearts and within our world also. We were made in time. We have in our hearts a sense of what it would be like to live forever, and a desire and a passion. And maybe you've come in here this morning because you have in you that sense that time, everything of life, there must be more to life than this. And this passage says precisely that's how God made us, with this sense that there must be more, there must be something beyond time. And yet, as this passage reminds us too, we are not able to comprehend it. We just can't get our heads around the idea of timelessness. But when God created our world and time, he also created patience. Or rather, patience was something that was already in the heart of God. And he wants us to have it too. That's what this fruit of the Spirit is all about. God is comfortable. This is an interesting thing. God is comfortable working with time. It seems to me that we creatures of time are not very comfortable with time, and we really would like time to get on and let's get there kind of thing. But God seems very comfortable working with time, and patience is an inherent aspect of his character. There's also the difficulty too that we have different perspectives on time, and I experienced this last week. I won't name names, but I went with a student for a 10-day mission down to Cardiff, and it was very interesting. 9 of us at a range of ages, and we were sleeping in a church hall building, and unfortunately this church hall building didn't have any showering facilities, and so we were showering at some Christian homes nearby on a rota basis. When you're trying to organise shower rotas, you begin to realise people have different perspectives on time, apart from the fact of how long it takes to shower, and the average was about 5 people to an hour. You can work it out for yourself. But there was a certain person on our team who just couldn't seem to shower in under an hour, and it was quite unbelievable because it was literally true. But also what I observed was her, she was kind of oblivious to the time factor. And it just reminded me, it's so true, isn't it? For you, time may be really dragging at the moment, and you're going to a point in life where time is really dragging for you. For me, time is going so fast, I can't believe we're halfway through February. And yet time is actually moving at the same time. It's our circumstances, it's our perspectives that affect how we feel about time and how we handle time. And patience is all about understanding time and the process of time, and if we can get our heads around that, then by God's grace we may be more patient. Let's go to our main passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, because that's what this passage is all about. 2 Peter chapter 3. Because I would say, as Christians, as well as non-Christians, we have a problem with God's program. We have a problem with God's time schedule. God just doesn't seem to move fast enough for us. Now that may be in your personal life situation. You're waiting for guidance. You're waiting to get married. You're waiting to find a partner. You're waiting for children. You're waiting for the children to grow up. You're waiting to enter into relaxed mode of retirement. Some may argue with that. I don't know. And nothing ever happens fast enough, does it? And nothing ever seems to happen at the right time. And we develop a sense of, this is unfair, God just doesn't seem to work to our kind of schedule. Getting our heads around God's schedule. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, the context is essentially, I won't read the whole of the passage, but it's coming up on screen there. It's essentially, as Peter tries to encourage the Christians to getting their thinking right, he says, I want to take up the issue of Christ's return. I want to remind you in verse 3 that in the last days scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promises that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. And I'm almost inclined to say, fair point. Fair point. 2,000 years have passed since Christ said, I will come back again, and we're still waiting. Is this not a fair point? Now, the attitude is wrong. These folk are scoffing at God's promise, but actually the point they're raising is a fair point. It took 1,500 years from Moses until Jesus comes. And how many years before Moses, we don't fully know. And 2,000 years since, we're still waiting. Why does God take so long to do what he has promised? It is because God understands time and process. Very interesting, isn't it? God is the God of miracles, and yet he's the one who least uses miracles. And we are the ones who most want miracles. And in the 21st century, we are utterly instant. We want everything now, now, now. Isn't it? But God is very comfortable working with time, with process, with waiting, and calls us into his program, and is not going to move into our program. They deliberately forget, the writer says, that God made the heavens by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood, and by that same word the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment, when ungodly people will be destroyed. The writer briefly says that we know that God has intervened in human history before, and he has done it in certain ways, and he refers to the judgment of a cataclysmic universal flood that the Bible teaches us about. And he says that God is in a process. God knows what he's doing. And it's a long process, and God is working in terms of thousands of years. So he goes on to say, you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. And you may say, you're bending words a little bit here. Thousands of years seems to be a bit slow. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. God, the issue is, God has a far bigger capacity for people than we have. God is looking for a large family. Now, you and I know in human terms, to have a family takes, well, we say it's a generation. I'm not talking about getting pregnant, 9 months, baby's born. I'm talking about your development from being a baby to a mature adult, to have the capacity to have a child, to having a child, to nurturing that child, until that child becomes a mature adult. You're talking decades, are we not? Multiply that as to what God is doing in having a family. God is patient, because he is working out this process of delivering the whole of humanity. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be exposed. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we're looking forward to the new heavens and new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. If patience is learning to handle process and to recognize that things take time, if it's recognizing that it's not easy and it's going to be a challenge, it is also crucial to patience that there is a hope, an expectation of success. You take hope out of the picture. You take the future, the concept that there is going to be something at the end, then you pretty soon run out of patience. I doubt that Davina McCall would have kept going if there wasn't this sense of achievement of raising a significant sum of money for charity. Otherwise, I doubt that she would have kept going through the pain. If there isn't the hope that in Syria there can be peace and that people can get back to a normality of life, then frankly I think you would utterly give up and not be able to be patient and to keep going and persevering. And Peter says here, this is what fills us with the sense of it's worth sticking at it, it's worth waiting. It may appear that Christ has forgotten us and God has just not fulfilled his promises of returning, but we are looking forward to a new world, new heavens, new earth, which will be utterly full of God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be connected in to this purpose of God's. God is unbelievably patient. He understands time, wants us to understand it, and wants us to work with it. While I was reading that, my mind went back to a parable in Luke chapter 18. It really connected in. We're going through a series in our house group, and on Thursday we were looking at Luke chapter 18. And it seems that one of the issues here that God is most concerned about, and it comes out in Jesus' parable, is that if we as God's people don't get our heads around time and the importance of process and the importance of waiting, of exercising patience, of understanding that things don't happen quickly and we need to stick at things, there is a significant danger that when Christ comes back, there won't be any of us left trusting him. It comes out in a parable Jesus tells about what is called the patient widow. I've called it the patient widow and the impatient judge. And what is really interesting is about its context. In Luke chapter 17, just like in 2 Peter chapter 3, Jesus is talking about the future. And I'm not going to read it, but go back to chapter 17 and you'll see he's talking about exactly the same thing in 2 Peter 3. He's talking about the return of Christ. God coming in Christ to bring an end to all of the misery of our world, to bring final judgment and to establish a new world. A world in which righteousness reigns. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable in that context to show that they should always pray and not give up. It seems that if we're going to be patient, then we need to have a strong connection with God and be constantly in communion with him. Prayer helps us to be patient. That seems to be what Jesus is saying. He said in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God and I don't care about people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me to give me peace, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me down with her coming." And Jesus said, listen to what the unjust says. "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night patiently? Will he keep putting them off?" "No," rhetorical question. "I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." Now, of course, we're back again to this question. Because God seems to do things very slowly. What's Jesus saying here? The character of God is towards us. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" And it was that last phrase that hit me really, really strongly. Patience is about keeping faith in God, whatever time may throw at us. I'm trying to understand patience. I'm trying to understand why I should be patient. I'm trying to understand what is patience. And at its core, patience is keeping faith in God, whatever time may throw at us. And time will throw, back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, time will throw everything at us. From birth, to childhood, to puberty, to marriage, to divorce, sadly, maybe, I don't know, to loneliness, to widowhood, to sickness, to terminal illness, to physical death. Time will throw everything at us, and it will seem in our life personally, and it will seem in our life as humanity, that we're waiting for God to come through for us, and it seems as if God is not coming through for us, and we're called to be patient. What is patience? Keeping faith in God, whatever time may throw at us. And that's what God is calling us to. That's what Jesus was concerned about. When the Son of Man returns, will he find anyone still waiting? That's deeply challenging, I think, for us. Especially in 21st century Britain at the moment, where society is throwing everything at us to say, forget God, God doesn't exist. All his promises are nonsense. The word of God is just a pile of fables. Just one amongst any religion in the world to keep faith with God and understand the processes of time. Where does that leave us? What can we actually go and do about that this week? I trust what we've looked at briefly there has helped us understand how time and patience work together and get the concept that God is comfortable working with long processes. And we basically need to fit in with God's program rather than expecting him to work to our schedule. But practically speaking, how can this work out? There are just three practical prompts I'll just flag up, and maybe something we could take away this morning to actually go and do this week. Patience in the moment. And I guess that's what I was challenged with this morning on the bus, is those silly little circumstances where what you had scheduled and the timing that you anticipated doesn't work out, and you need to stretch yourself a little bit in terms of exercising patience. There are many situations in life, and we're going to face them this afternoon and tomorrow, especially in the whole area of when people do things that we struggle to tolerate, when people do things that hurt us, when peacemaking is needed. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18, we get that little nutshell that is brilliant. "A quick-tempered person stirs up dissension, but one who is slow to anger calms a quarrel." Could have picked a quarrel with the driver this morning. God help me, and he did help me, because I wasn't going to help myself. But God helped me keep my mouth shut and just accept, okay, let's walk away from this one. Walking away from things, exercising that spur of the moment situation, patience in the moment. If you flip back to 1 Peter chapter 2, you see it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ so supremely, and maybe you want this week to go back and read a bit more in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and just look at the various circumstances that he was in where he controlled his anger. Now there were one or two times when he got angry and he expressed his anger. Expressing anger is valid if it's justified. And it's controlled and measured. But to control and measure your anger, you need patience, dominating the emotion of anger. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in summarizing it, Peter refers to the fact that this is the example that Christ set for us. It's commendable if a person bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. God consciousness changes our circumstances, or changes our response in the circumstances. But he says, how is it good if you receive a beating for doing wrong? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, it's commendable for before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. And he goes on to explain that he was insulted, he was reviled, but he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he didn't make threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And he goes on to explain how Christ bore our sin in his own body on the tree. By being patient, by controlling that anger response, which he would be justly, could have justly given to Pilate, to the leaders of the Jews, to the Roman centurions, to basically everyone who was trying to eventually crucify him. By getting angry and dealing with them, he would never have carried our sins in his own body on the tree. He would never have gone to the cross for us. Patience in the small things and in the big things, but patience in the moment, being conscious of God in the situation, consciously commending the situation to God. God, you know I'm going to be late because the bus is now late. Okay, is that all right, God? I think a lot of the times God says, yeah, that's fine. There's time. Just calm down. Trusting himself to God and the situation. Patience in the moment. Maybe be challenged this week about developing patience in the moment. Secondly, patience in the process. I've said quite a bit about this really already. Patience in the process. I think for me, the biggest issue is just getting my head around the fact that it's going to take time. I drove a minibus with the team down to Cardiff. It was a 17-seater. It was limited speed-wise to 60. Now that is very frustrating. But I used to drive trucks in Zambia and things that were much slower than that. You learn that you just have to drop your clock. You just have to recalculate. You just have to actually work at a slower pace. So instead of getting down to Cardiff in what I would reckon to be a usual 7 to 8 hours, it's going to take 8 to 9 hours. And you recalculate yourself, and you actually eliminate a lot of time frustration by recognizing there is a process. Let's go with the process. James chapter 5. We will read that one. We're not going to read all that remains. But James chapter 5 reminds us that this is how farmers work. And I guess maybe in this area there will be plenty of understanding of the process of agriculture. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. Maybe a bit frustrated down south with the quantity, but you too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Understanding process. And as we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just incredible how he waited for 30 years as a carpenter in a village in a backwater part of Israel, unknown, content to be unknown. How many of us are content to be unknown, working in the background? But we've got a real vision of what God wants us to do, and God says, yeah, I know that, there's time for that, but you can spend 20 years over here, you know, doing what seems to be pretty much nothing. Jesus was content for 30 years to just be an ordinary human. He trusted himself to God. He knew God's program, and he was willing to work with process. And lastly, patience in the long haul. For some of us, maybe this week, it is because we are really in the middle of some very difficult situations. We're really in a situation much perhaps like Job. I know Psalm 37 wasn't written by Job, but there are some interesting connections between the two Psalms. And I'll leave it with you as a bit of homework to read now Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is written in one of those circumstances when, from the human angle, things are not good. People are not nice. And the bad people are winning. And the bad people are winning all the time. And there just doesn't seem any possibility that things are going to come right, are going to come good. And the psalmist says, do not fret. Do not get anxious. Trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do good. Delight yourself in God. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Don't fret. It only leads to evil. For the evil will be cut off, but those who hope, wait patiently in the Lord will inherit, will get there. This glorious expectation we have in Christ of the future, it is there. We need to hang on in the difficult times. May the Lord help us this week, because one thing I know, sometimes you preach a sermon on Sunday morning and you're not quite sure whether anyone will be particularly challenged by the issue. On this one, patience, I know we will all be challenged on this one within the next hour, I'm quite sure. May the Lord by his Spirit fill us with Christ and his patience, and just get our heads around how God works, and it will help us greatly handle this week. Let's pray.